When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Going on, y'all. Yo. Welcome to our weekly live show here at the Philly Pod TV YouTube channel. I'm your host today, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod. Be sure to do the same for the LibertyLine.com as well on Twitter and Instagram at LibertyLinePHL. Trying to work these weekly shows into the mix here and try to do some of the live stuff. So I got my partner here with me for these weekly shows as usual. You know him from AP News. He covers the entire NFL now, doing the whole landscape. Follow him on Twitter at Rob Motti. Rob, we are still, I think myself, I'm still trying to come down from the high that was Sunday afternoon from the performance of Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. But you cover the NFL as a whole. How's it been just getting back into the mix and now covering all 32 teams as opposed to just one team in a passionate city?
Man, I had a great kickoff game with the Cowboys and Buccaneers last Thursday night. The crowd was it was electric. It was nice to see people back out there. It was different. It was a different kind of environment. You walk in and they got like a little Bucks beach outside and people are hanging out, drinking and having a good time. And they're doing that, of course, everywhere at all the stadiums. And then we finish up Monday Night Football with a phenomenal game, Ravens and the Raiders, and a great win for Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders opening up that stadium. But of course, on Sunday, I had the Eagles game on. You know what I did, Victor, right? I got the package, the DirecTV, and I go to DirecTV, and I'm like, why aren't the Eagles on? What's going on? It's not on my DirecTV. I'm flipping out, and it says it's on locally. I'm like, oh, so it's blacked out because it was on locally. So I didn't even need the package to watch the Eagles live, but I was watching that game, of course, and had to make sure because I'll be up there Sunday for the Niners game. What an impressive performance, man. It was incredible. It was phenomenal up and down. A little bit of a defensive at the start, the two drives, but they were able to hold the Falcons to 6 points. And from there, total absolute domination, Victor. And you could, like, if you're an Eagles fan, you could not ask for anything better than that. Nick Sirianni passes the test tremendously. Jalen Hurts is exceptional, and everyone else comes out there and dominates. That's about as good of a start as you can get. I thought Atlanta was going to win the game. I had a 26-23. I thought the Eagles were going to score some points, but I didn't expect that defense to completely shut down Matt Ryan, Kyle Pitts and company, and they did a great job. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I expected a win myself, but I didn't think it would be certainly of that magnitude. I didn't think they were going to beat down Atlanta the way they did. Nick Sirianni is a, you know, as a first-time play caller and a first-time head coach, he kept a lot of his things, his play calling and his designs, tight to chest throughout the preseason. We didn't see a ton of it throughout the preseason. So now that we saw a complete regular season game from Nick Sirianni, Rob, what were kind of your takeaways from that? And how do you feel about the play calling and the play designs and how we schemed wide receivers open? What was your total entire takeaways from Nick Sirianni in his debut as a head coach with the Philadelphia Eagles?
He was everything that we hoped he would be, and he was exactly what he said he would be. He said that I'll cater my offense to the strengths of the players, and he certainly did that. He went out there and his schemes, and you can point to the Devontae Smith touchdown, just the way Zach Ertz ran precisely the route perfectly, a little rub, allowed Devontae to be wide open with an over-the-shoulder perfect catch, perfect throw. That was beautiful. Early on, I wanted to see Nick Sirianni get Jalen into a rhythm with some short passes, mid-range passes, and he did that. Quez Watkins caught the first three. I didn't expect that. I thought it'd be a little Jalen Reagor, Devontae Smith, something like that. But hey, if you're going to go to Quez three times, let's go. Go to Quez three times. And there weren't a lot of deep balls, and I think that's what some people mentioned. But I don't have a problem with that because Jalen's completing 77% of the passes. You're moving the ball up and down. You're converting. You're getting first downs. You're keeping the ball, and you're scoring. So whether or not you do it methodically or you do it in chunks, and he was taking what the defense gave him. So when the defense gives, when the defense allows you or takes away the deep ball from you, look for other ways to win. And I love what I said. They rotated some guys in. You talked about the three-headed monster running back. We didn't see Boston Scott. And I wonder right now, right, with Kenny Gainwell getting 35% of the snaps and doing so well, Miles Sanders playing so well, is there a role at this point for Boston Scott? I think maybe at some point.
In Giants games, there are.
Yeah, for sure. He'll get used. He'll get used for sure.
They'll save him for the Giants games. Yeah, we saw a lot of encouraging things from Nick Sirianni all offseason long. He did just preach the fact that we need to put players in their best positions to succeed. We can't be limiting players to one certain position. Speaking specifically of Jalen Reagor, he said he's not going to be limited to the slot. He's not going to be limited to the outside. And that was on full display in that first game. So very encouraging signs from Nick Sirianni and that offensive coaching staff. The man of the hour, we can't forget, Jalen Hurts, obviously only had 8 incompletions, 264 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, 62 yards on the ground. When PFF, whoever is big into PFF rankings, ranked as second best behind the greatest to ever play the game in Tom Brady. So very, very good signs from Jalen Hurts in his first game as the presumptive face of the franchise. How impressed were you, Rob, with Jalen Hurts? Were you expecting this kind of performance from him? Was it just the norm for you, considering what we saw from him last season? How do you feel about Jalen Hurts and his command of the Eagles offense?
I love the command that he had. I love the poise, the control that he had. He was in full control. He was cool, calm, collected. He only got sacked one time. He was able to escape and create with his legs. That touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert was tremendous, getting outside and eluding the rush and making the pass in a perfect spot. I certainly didn't expect Jalen Hurts to complete 77% of his passes. I think that was the big question on Jalen coming off of last year when he was under 60% in a league where everybody's over 60% nowadays, and most guys are in the 65-70 range. So I thought that was a great first performance for him to go out there, complete that many passes. I said, Victor, from last year, I wanted to see what he can do over the course of a full season. I was willing to bet on him. I love the intangibles, and does he translate all of those intangibles into on the field? He did first week of the season against the Atlanta Falcons, and there's a lot to be excited about. But at the same time, as Nick Sirianni said yesterday, answering my question at the end of it, he said, hey, in all honesty, we just won one game and we got to go out there and do it again. And before, I want to appreciate that kind of win. I certainly do. And it's great to be able to dominate a bad team, because you don't want to go out there when you're expected to be a rebuilding team yourself and lose to the Falcons or win in a slow 16-13, 13-12. So to be able to go out there and dominate, you can't take anything away from that. But to caution everybody, hey, this team started in the Doug Peterson era and the Carson Wentz era 3-0. And they destroyed, remember, the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I remember.
34-3,
I remember.
Or whatever
we were all excited after that 3-0. The city was on fire.
And they had a bye, right? They had a bye.
Bye right after that.
Early bye, and then they played
lost
the
to Detroit.
Lions.
And that was that. Yeah, they played Ryan Matthews.
Slay picked Carson. It was his first. It was the first pick of Wentz's career, and it was Darius Slay.
Yes, sir. So yeah, so us as fans are hearing a lot of the chirping fine. It's only Atlanta, you know. Don't get too excited. Anybody should be able to beat Atlanta. They're an NFL team, and good teams beat down on bad teams, and that's exactly what the Eagles did. So people can try and downplay it all they want.
Victor, who, where's that chirping coming
from? Oh, well, you know, it's from division rivals. You know, Dallas is in my ear about a moral victory of almost beating the Bucks, and now we can't be excited about beating the Falcons. So of course that's all we're going to hear as far as the division is concerned. We'll get into the division a little more later. Speaking of the beatdown that the Eagles did give the Falcons, in Sirianni's latest press conference, you did ask him about how do you maintain this mentality, this hungry mentality after such a convincing victory, and Sirianni referenced the dog mentality that he's trying to install into every player's minds. From your perspective, how has the mentality been? Not so much how has it differed from last season, but how confident are you that the players can still maintain that hungry mindset moving forward, even after a victory such as this one?
I think for the most part they will, Victor, but that's a question where you got 53 men on a roster and then a bunch of guys also on the practice squad, and there's the tendency for one, two, maybe three, somebody is going to look at, hey, I played so well, man, I've arrived, or I've played so well Sunday, and maybe it's one less minute in the playbook, or it's one less practice rep, or whatever it is, and you got to safeguard against that, because as Sirianni said, hey, if you come out here on Wednesday thinking about what you did on Sunday against Atlanta, you're going to get your butt kicked on this upcoming Sunday against San Francisco. The past is the past. You have to put it where it belongs. And you learn from mistakes. You build on the positives. And I think that dog mentality that he preaches about, that he talks about, he wore the T-shirt yesterday, so that was cool. That's something that he's got to really try and continue to instill on a weekly basis. He said it's a day-to-day thing. It's a week-to-week thing. And I believe that, because this is a team that's young with a good mix of veterans who've been there and done that. And some of those guys, the Fletcher Cox and the Jason Kelseys and the Brandon Brooks, they've won a Super Bowl. And they've been to the top of the mountain. They've been to the bottom. They know what it's like. And the younger guys are going to look to them and see their temperament. And you got to make sure you have that same energy and that same preparation. And you can never let up, and you can never feel like, hey, I've arrived, or I've accomplished, or I'm good. You're not good enough, because what you did last week don't matter when you go out there this week against a very tough opponent.
Yeah, I was about to say the 49ers are a good benchmark to see where this team is at. Atlanta was a good team to get your feet wet and get you, you know, feeling good about the season. And the 49ers come into town now. They're going to bring you back to reality really quick. Minus, you know, they did lose Mostert for the year and they lost their starting corner. They just signed Drake Kirkpatrick, I believe. So we're going to have to see how the Eagles fare against the 49ers Sunday in Philadelphia. Now, more about the offense. Kenneth Gainwell was a surprise to a lot of people. He played for 35% of the snaps. He had 9 carries, 37 yards, a touchdown, and also was targeted 3 times out of the backfield. So 10-plus touches for the 150th overall pick in Kenneth Gainwell. Miles Sanders in his own right, 113 scrimmage yards, and then we all know Jalen Hurts, 62 yards on the ground. Do the Eagles now have this kind of three-headed rushing attack? Is this kind of offense sustainable? And should we expect to see Kenneth Gainwell as a feature back in this offense moving forward?
I don't know about featured. I think Miles Sanders is still going to be that guy, but it's nice to have Kenneth Gainwell be able to take some reps, take some snaps, and be productive. And that's what it's all about. If you're productive, you're going to continue to go back out there, and it's going to help, because you're going to need 3 running backs. You may need more. We've seen injuries in the NFL. We know what that's like, and mm-hmm. you're going to have to go through a season. Miles Sanders hasn't played a full season yet. We're going to have to rely on the great thing is you got a rookie like Kenneth Gainwell, where the coaching staff has enough confidence in him week one that he's out there getting 35% of the snaps, and he's certainly talented. He certainly brings a lot of flexibility, because he can run the ball, he can catch the ball, he's got great hands. Miles Sanders was I was impressed with his hands this week because we saw last year he struggled. He really did. And sometimes he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and that caused some issues with the offense. And this week it looked like he was getting the passing game down. And as I said earlier, you and I talked about Boston Scott. He's going to be used. He's going to get an opportunity to go out there, and I think it's a great thing. You need two guys. You need three guys. And Jordan Howard on a practice squad or whatever it is, number four somebody. You're going to use somebody else, too, at some point. So it's great to be able to get Kenneth Gainwell, a young guy, out there and get those reps, get it some confidence. He scores a touchdown in his first NFL game. That's only going to help him as the season progresses.
Yeah, certainly a confidence booster. That's three players, 22 years of age, that scored a touchdown between Rager, Devontae Smith, and Kenneth Gainwell. So the youth is prominent.
Right? Three guys, 22.
Three guys, 22, all scored. So that certainly bodes well for the youth movement over in Philadelphia. Like, so speaking of the Heisman winner, didn't take long for him to make his mark. First career catch is a touchdown in the same spot he caught that touchdown in the championship game. So, of course, that's been made of note at this point. He led the team in targets with 8, tied for the team lead with Rager with 6 receptions, played in all but 9 snaps offensively. So if there was any doubt that he was a bona fide WR1 on this team, he proved it on Sunday. And not only that, all 166 pounds of him was the second highest graded run blocker, right behind J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So he is a do-it-all receiver, despite what many believe. How impressed were you, Rob, with Devontae Smith? As if there was any doubt, you know, he does prove to be the receiver that he was touted to be coming out of Alabama.
Yeah, very much so, Victor, very much so. And I love his ability to go out there and just be open exactly where Jalen wants him to be. His route running ability, his hands, terrific. The fact that he caught that touchdown, nice, beautiful, over the shoulder, great route, great run. The confidence that he brings. Somebody asked him after the game, when did you know you were going to be? And he's like, as soon as I saw man, I knew I was going to be open. I love that swag. I love that confidence in a guy like Devontae Smith. And at one point didn't he have like 5 catches, 6 catches in the first half or through the second quarter?
5 like, in the first half.
Yeah, he's on pace for like 12, 13, 150 yard game. And hey, that's okay. You get those numbers. You give other guys their opportunities. And Jalen Reagor caught some passes. That was very, very promising for me to see. But Devontae is certainly everything I thought he would be. And I'm surprised, though, about the run blocking. I didn't know he was going to grade out that well. Like you said, 166 pounds, man. He's a skinny dude. He really is.
Scrappy out there.
He's out there just getting away. You know, I don't want you getting hurt. Just getting away and see what you can do.
Since we're on the topic of receivers, you and I talked extensively throughout the summer about Jalen Reagor, some of the things he was going through last season, obviously the tragedy he went through in the offseason. But if anything, he put his acceleration on display. Sirianni is doing a good job of scheming him open. 6 catches already in the first game, 49 yards and a touchdown. Is this a sign of more good things from Jalen Reagor as the season progresses?
I think so, man. And they have some good yak on that touchdown catch, too.
Yeah,
right?
We saw that acceleration. I haven't seen that. Yeah, I don't think I saw it at all last year, except on that one Saints play. But
that was the one where Mailata laid out the corner.
Mm-hmm. Took the safety out.
That was on a touchdown. Oh, it was the safety. I didn't like the way things went down for Jalen Reagor last year, and I thought it wasn't fair.
I don't think anybody did.
You know, the criticism I don't think was fair. He had a lot of high expectations. He had to play under the shadow of, it's not his fault the Eagles took Justin Jefferson, man. It's not his fault that Justin Jefferson's going out there and lighting it up with a bad Minnesota Vikings football team that's got to throw the ball a lot because they stink and they're coming back in games. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from Justin Jefferson, 13 All-Pro, tremendous year, and he may very well end up being the better of the two. But one season's not enough to make that decision or that determination. And I don't care if Justin Jefferson is a 3-time, 4-time, 5-time Pro Bowler and goes on to the Hall of Fame. All I care about is, what can Jalen Reagor do? And I wasn't willing to write him off after one season. And you saw the talent and the ability that he has. And maybe it took scheming him open, like you said. Maybe it took a different kind of offensive system to work him in. I'll never forget last year asking Doug Peterson how much of it is the wide receivers' inability to get open versus scheming them open. Right. And you know, Doug and I get along very well, and we have a great relationship. But he didn't want to answer that question because that was, hey, me saying either these guys suck or you can't get them open. Right. And he wasn't gonna throw them under the bus and say no, they're not good enough. And he didn't want to say that, hey, it's not my scheme. I'm not getting them open. It's not our scheme. But it kind of put him on the spot. And we're seeing it now, right? We saw it's 1 week. It's one game. It's our first taste of the Nick Sirianni offense. Things mm-hmm. will be different this week because the San Francisco 49ers now, they have tape on the
Eagles.
They
have some tape.
They know,
yep.
right? They know what to expect. They didn't have that tape on Sirianni. They didn't see what this offense is going to look like. So things will be different this week, and we'll see how they adjust.
Sirianni was very encouraging for Sirianni. The Eagles put up 30 points for the first time since December of 2019. So that'll tell you that the Eagles struggled to put up points. And if anything
what
was to prove
that. What game was
that
in 19?
That was the last game. It was the 2019 game. So that was the Joshua Perkins touchdown. Remember that when Wentz threw it like crossbody, it falls across the field, and we were on
remember
route
to
the playoffs.
He could make throws like that?
Yeah, back in the day, man, back in the day. So, yeah, and then in addition to that, what was it? The Devontae Smith touchdown. He's the first Eagle to catch a touchdown in his NFL debut since 1990. And I forget the guy's name. It's like Hargrove or Margrove or something like that. And he only had one career touchdown, and it wasn't that game.
Wow.
So that tells you. And then Chris Carter in 87, he was the last guy to do
wow.
it. So Sirianni's already, doing some fun things. And the Eagles' victory over Atlanta, the largest margin of victory since November of the Super Bowl year when they beat Chicago. So the Eagles' offense is finally clicking on all sides, and it looks like that at least for 1 week they can possibly contend with the offense of the Dallas or whoever else they're going to be up against to try and bring a division title to Philadelphia. On the defensive side of the ball, Rob, obviously it took a while to get the sacks going, but Hargrave came away, 6 tackles, 3 QB hits, 2 sacks. Hit Ridgeway got his later on. It was looking a little shaky for Gannon's defense. It looked like the ghost of Jim Schwartz was still hanging around for a couple series there. But they held Mike Davis to 3.3 yards per carry. How do you feel about Jonathan Gannon and his debut as defensive coordinator for the Eagles?
Hey, after two drives where the Falcons, the first two, were able to move the ball.
Wasn't looking good for a minute there.
Yeah, but yet they held them both times. They held
exactly.
them to field goals.
Bend don't
right?
break is still a thing.
So you were able to hold them to field goals. They were able to make some adjustments, and I love the way they were able to pressure without bringing a blitz. They were able to dominate up front. That defensive line is certainly the strength of their defense up front. And to be able to see Javon Hargrave get to the quarterback and get those sacks, I thought that was a great thing. I love that they're able to rotate so many guys on that defensive line, keep guys fresh, Victor. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Man, defensive line, when you got that kind of depth and you're able to be able to rotate guys and keep them fresh, offensive linemen are in the fourth quarter, and they're tired, man. They've been out there the whole game, and they're not getting any reps unless they're dinged up or they're hurt. But that D-line's is fresh. And they were bringing it, man. They were bringing it, and there's a lot of versatility on this team. So Jonathan Gannon, another guy, just like Nick Sirianni, said, "I'm going to coach to the strengths of my players," and he went out there and he did that against the Atlanta Falcons. 49ers going to present a different set of challenges, and you got a quarterback who can do some things, and a second quarterback and a backup.
About to say, they got a dual QB offense over there.
Yeah, I mean they only used Trey Lance. He threw the ball one time for a touchdown. Jimmy G ain't giving up his starting spot
that easily.
And he ain't going to give it up that easily. But there's a lot of things. It's a Kyle Shanahan. I love that it's a Kyle Shanahan offense in week two. So it's going to be it's going to present a big-time challenge for this team. And we'll know a lot more about Jonathan Gannon and the defense after this week, after they play the 49ers.
Yeah, the defensive front surely is a force. They have been for a while now. Third in the league in sacks last season with 49, and will more than likely continue that trend this season. And not for nothing, the cornerbacks held their own. I believe Maddox, Slay, and Nelson all graded out top 15 via PFF as far as cornerbacks are concerned. Slay had that pass breakup, and Nelson held his own from what I could tell in the film I've seen so far. So nobody got burnt. And up against Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. That's all you can ask for. Calvin Ridley held to 51 yards. Kyle Pitts held to 31. So very, very good things. Speaking briefly about the 49ers coming up, they've lost Mostert for the year, and they lost their cornerback one, Jason Verrett. They just signed Drake Kirkpatrick, so he'll more than likely be lining up against Devontae, trying to figure out how he's going to do that. But they still have some weapons on offense. Debo Samuel, 200 yards receiving in his first game. Brandon Ayuk is still there. He gave us some issues last year. And, of course, George Kittle. It's still early. We're going to figure out the previews. But, Rob, early things that the Eagles need to zero in on if they want to win the home opener and go on to 2-0 on the season before Dallas week.
Yeah, and the rookie Elijah Mitchell was able to step in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
He ran for over 100 yards. And what they're going to have to do this week is be disciplined. I think the key when you're facing a San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan offense is discipline because there's so much movement, right? He's got guys going all over the place. Samuel's going back and forth. Ayuk's doing this and that. And you got the fullback. I love that they utilize a fullback. I don't know why more teams don't use a fullback. But you got number 44 back there. Kyle, I'm not even going to try and say
Juszczyk, I think. Juszczyk,
yeah,
is that him?
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. It's so you got the fullback back there. You got movement. You guys have to be disciplined. Linebackers got to be disciplined. You got to stay in your gaps. You got to see the man in front of you. You got to keep your eyes on the football, and that's going to be key. George Kittle is a monster. He's a beast. I thought that Kyle Pitts was going to have a big game. George Kittle's going to be hard to hold that man down. He's just that good. He's that phenomenal. But hey, the Eagles were able to always somehow find a way to beat Atlanta, and Julio Jones got his yards. I don't care if, and last year they beat San Fran and George Kittle got his catches and got his yards. Well,
they beat Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard. That's
yeah, Nick Mullins throwing that pass.
So we got a good share at Nick Mullins.
Singleton. So, guys can get their yards and get their catches, and you could still have some success as long as you keep them out of the end zone. But I think the key this week is going to be discipline against an offense that shows so many different variations, schemes, runs the ball well, has a veteran quarterback in Jimmy G, and then of course Trey Lance. Whenever he's out there, you can't lose track of that kid because he can do so many different things.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts in that offense is surely going to have a test against Bosa. You got Fred Warner in the middle who just got paid. You got some studs on that defense, too, that Hurts is going to have to be aware of. That'll about wrap up this first weekly episode. Wanted to recap some of the Eagles' takeaways on the first episode as well as begin to preview the upcoming 49ers game. Appreciate everybody tuning into this live show. You'll be able to catch the replay on YouTube, the PhillyPod TV YouTube channel. Be sure to go subscribe to that. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Motti. Follow all his stuff he is doing over at AP. Anything exciting coming up, Rob? Any pieces, interviews? You've been a busy man all offseason.
Yeah, and it's constantly busy. I got a really cool interview with Rodney McLeod coming up this week on the AP Pro Football Podcast, which will come out Thursday. And the longer version will be on the Faith on the Field show this weekend across the country on 7 different stations. So I sat down with Rod last week, and he was really high on Nick Sirianni. He was really high on Jalen Hurts and Jonathan Gannon and that secondary, and they went out there and proved him right in week one. So look forward to getting Rod back out there because he's been through the wars. He knows what it takes. He's a veteran leader back there in that secondary. They've won a Super Bowl with him, and he's a team captain. So we talk about all of that stuff, what it means to him to be a team captain, what it means for him having to come back from an injury that he went through already. So he knows what it takes to have to come back from.
Isn't it both knees now, right? Both knees he's done
so,
torn.
Yeah. Man, when you go through, I went through an ACL, so I know. Did you? I know what that. Yeah, I had.
What
an
were
ACL
you doing?
I was playing football, man. I had a pick. I came down, turned my body, cleat got caught in the ground, popped my ACL.
That's one way to do it.
No contact whatsoever.
It's always the non-contact ACL.
Yeah,
too.
That's why anytime I see a guy, and I jogged off the field, I'm like, who knows? It could be an ACL. It could be, you know, some guy's Carson stayed in the game and threw a touchdown and walked off and it was done. So, and then some guys fall down to the turf crying and get carted off. So it's different. It's different for everybody, man. But good to see Rod on his way back. I would anticipate we see him probably early October. Hopefully, no later than that.
Yeah, surely cannot wait to get Rodney McLeod back on that field. Be sure to plug all that stuff that Rob is doing and check out that interview as well. Thank you guys for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod. Subscribe to the show, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Odyssey, Amazon, YouTube, all that fun stuff. Anywhere else you can get your shows. Drop the likes, drop the comments, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the show, leave those reviews.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.